disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Welcome everyone, good morning, and it's a good again to be in fellowship. And before we open up God's word, let's just have a time of committing this meeting to the Lord, and that the Holy Spirit, he will have his way, and he will be sovereign today as he teaches us and leads and guides us for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this day. This is the day you've made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Father, for your hand and preservation over our lives, how you preserve and keep us when we go out and when we come in. Father, we are aware that we are living in the last days, and we are seeing the great falling away now that has been spoken of throughout the centuries. Father, we thank you that we are a product of your infinite mercy and grace revealed through Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you that none of us are here by chance this morning, but always where two or three are gathered together in your name, it is a divine appointment. And Lord, we thank you that you are moving around the world and you have a people, a remnant to yourself, called from the foundation of the world. And Father, we thank you this morning that we are part of that. We didn't choose you, you chose us. You have placed your life through Jesus Christ in and through us. Lord, we have so much to thank you for, but we have also eternity in which to show that praise and thanks and gratitude. Lord, we thank you that you are revealing the Father's heart to us in these last days, as love is growing colder and colder, as we're seeing more and more rebellion around the world. Oh, Father, how we have need of praying for our leaders, our governments. Lord, we want to thank you that in the West, and in this country, we still have comparative peace and prosperity, when we know that there are our brothers and sisters around the world who are going through great trial and tribulation for their faith because they love Jesus. Lord, we pray for the church, for the true bride of Christ, as she's making herself ready in these last days. Father, strengthen her, encourage her, keep her eyes always faithful upon the Lord Jesus Christ, seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Father, keep her pure and holy and undefiled, always seeking the truth, the word of God, the purity of your word, ever growing stronger in the faith. Help us, Father, not to rely upon the arm of the flesh, but to ever seek your strength and power and might in these last days. Lord, we know that it is in our weakness we are made strong. It is when we see no end, no light in the tunnel, that your presence is leading and guiding us. Father, we desire today that through hearing your word, we may become stronger and bolder in the faith. And grant us that we may look up as our redemption draws near. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can you all hear me okay? I've got several things upgrading on this computer and it can be very distracting. You all can hear me, can you? Yes, okay, that's good. Praise God. Well, I have a title this morning that we're going to talk about, one that's not new to us, but I don't think is preached very often, and that is A Remnant is Ordained to Believe. A remnant is ordained to believe. That's our title this morning, and I trust that you'll be blessed by this. And we're going to base our teaching this morning from a very encouraging prophecies. If we turn to the book of Joel, one of the minor prophets. And I want to just primarily look at Joel chapter 2 and verse 32. The book of Joel chapter 2 and verse 32. And we're calling this teaching this morning, A Remnant is Ordained to Believe. A remnant is ordained to believe. And it says here, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance. And the Lord has said among the remnant whom the Lord calls. So we see here in this remnant that God calls from the foundation of the world. He says that there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. So we clearly see there is a remnant, there has always been a remnant, and that remnant is called of God. Have you got sound now? Can you hear me? Praise God. We'll get there. This is technology for us. We're looking at, I don't know how far you got with this. Yes, thank you, Paul. We're looking at the book of Joel. And here, the book of Joel speaks of a remnant that God has called from the foundation of the earth. And if God doesn't call a remnant, none of us would be here even in this room this morning. But look what it says here. In the book of Joel, the book of Joel speaks about the former rain and the latter rain. And we know that Peter also referred to the book of Joel, and he spoke of what will come in the last days. So it hasn't already been. We've seen the former through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Pentecost. And there will be a latter in the last days, which is part of restoration. And this is why I hold strongly that we are in the times of restoration. We're not in the times of revival. Revivals are finished. They've served their purpose. We are now in the time of restoration, where God is restoring all things and bringing all things, both the latter and the former, to completion. And you are part of that. And this is why we need to understand that God has a remnant that is ordained from the foundation of the world for these last days. And notice what he says here. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, among the remnant whom the Lord calls. And if God does not call, then there is no remnant. And we know there is a remnant, and we can take great gratitude in this, because I see a remnant today. I see a remnant today in this room. This encourages ministry, that God has a remnant ordained from the foundation of the world, who hear the word of God, who hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. So we can take great comfort in this, the same as the Apostle Paul did and the early Christians, which of course we'll look at later on. So through God, God's word, we have seen God has preserved a remnant for himself. Now, there are a lot today who don't like this sort of teaching. They find that it's just a bit exclusive. It's teaching us and them. And there are many who would refute what I'm about to preach on today. But they're failing to see that if they believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and they are baptized in the Holy Spirit, that is a sovereign work of God. Because we know that it is God who first loved us. And we know if we are called from the foundation of the world, and we'll know it because we stay with it. We stay with Jesus. We go wherever he is, wherever he's to be found, where two or three are gathered together in his presence. So it's those who endure to the end shall be saved. And that is your sign that you have been called from the foundation of the world and you are part of this remnant. I will go even a step further, that I believe if we're students of the Word of God, which we believe we are, we find from the book of Genesis right to the book of Revelation that there is a remnant that runs, weaves through all the way and will be there until the Lord establishes his dominion, his theocracy on the earth. So there is a remnant that is called. Why is there a remnant? Because man's falling into sin created such a remnant. Was it God's perfect plan for a remnant? No. But sin has brought about God's working in man's life, redeeming, saving him from himself. So there is this line of God's calling right through Scripture. We know this when Adam and Eve fell. He provided for them. He covered them, their nakedness. So God taking the initiative in dealing with man's sin, covering man's sin, reveals that there is a remnant, that this is God's mercy and grace in his provision. Is the whole world covered from their sin? No. Wish to God it was, but we have to face facts, reality. Not all respond to the good news of the gospel. But those that do, that is an indication and a sign that God has a family, a remnant to himself. Hallelujah. We find from Adam's descendants, there was a remnant. Until the face of the earth became so wicked, so violent, that God was sorry he ever made and created man. And we find that Noah found grace in God's sight. Here again is this remnant, this thread running through. And so Noah was saved and his descendants, his sons. Then we come to the calling of Abraham. again called by God, a remnant and his family, to walk by faith, not knowing where they were going. And of course, we know that from Abraham, God made a covenant with him, and he said, "Here is my remnant, you will see, as you see the stars above, so I will bring from your loins a remnant unto myself." Was it the whole world? No. Again, a remnant called. This is why we are of the promise of Abraham. And this is why we walk by faith and not by sight. And so we are part of his descendants. Then comes Moses, again called of God. Moses, this time, is to call a nation. Up until Moses' time, it was not a nation, but now the calling of Moses, he is to go and address the children of Israel in Egypt, in exile, prisoners. He's to go and be a deliverer to them, to bring deliverance. And indeed, we see through the working of God how Israel, a nation, over a million, were delivered and brought out of Egypt into the wilderness to be preserved and kept. Again, Israel, out of all nations, we see a remnant. Israel have I loved, God says, out of all nations. Israel is the only nation out of all the world who had her eyes open to the revelation of Yahweh. No other nation did, but she did. And of course we know that God has not given up on Israel. And then of course from Israel come the descendants, Joshua, and then those that entered into the promised land, Joshua and Caleb, again a remnant. And then we come to the priesthood of Samuel. We come to the kingship through David. Again, a remnant called of God. And then in the times of Judges, Elijah, Elisha and others. That was one of the worst times of Israel's history under the Judges. They were all doing their own thing. Believing their own thing, doing their own thing. Sounds a bit similar today. But God had a remnant. And we see how God will save that remnant even if they go into sin for a season. I'm thinking of Samson. He fell into sin. But look how God, the power of that calling from the foundation of the world, comes to pass. Whoever God calls will be saved. And even if they rebel and they turn their back on God, God has a way of bringing that true repentance, that bowing of the knee. Why? For the sake of his remnant. And then we move on, don't we, to Isaiah and Jeremiah, the great prophets, prophesying of future restoration, Israel's deliverance, Ezekiel. Then we come to the minor prophets, those who went into exile in Babylon, preserved again, a remnant, Daniel, three companions, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Here it speaks again of remnant, preserved by the power of God. And then we come to where they came out of exile and were again to rebuild the temple. And we know the story where they procrastinate. They're more interested in their own homes instead of building the temple of God. Very similar to what we have today. We can draw such parallels. How that so much of Christendom is more interested in themselves, their own lives, instead of the building of God's church. Again, we can draw these parallels. We've had a lot of teaching over the years with regard to that. Then we see a remnant through the 400 years where there's nothing, there's no prophet, there's no teacher teaching. That was the worst period in time for Israel. And then comes Zacharias, Elizabeth. Again, a remnant believing of the coming Messiah. And of course, they produced John the Baptist, one calling in the wilderness for man to repent, paving the way for Jesus. Jesus was part of God's remnant, the Saviour to the world. And what were Jesus's remnant? His disciples who believed, who followed him. Then Saul, on the road to Damascus, is saved. Paul, who reveals that God hasn't given up on Israel. He was a Hebrew, an Israelite, and had received salvation. So he took comfort from that, that God hadn't even given up on Israel. And he produced a remnant, Timothy, followers. I can just go on. You can add names to this, where God has a remnant right through history. And this is why our faith is so vital to be worked on in these last days. And this is why I've called this teaching, a remnant is ordained to believe. And this is why we make so much on faith. Because faith, our belief in God's word, in God's promises, in the love of God, is preserving in these last days. As God calls a remnant, so he must preserve that remnant. And the remnant now in the last days, as the book of Joel speaks of, as he in the last days will pour out his spirit, the preservation is through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is why I make so much of it. And this is why, sadly, so many do not see the importance of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They have misinterpreted. They have seen it just merely as an empowerment. Now I can speak in tongues. Now I can go and lay hands on the sick. Or I can prophesy. All of that has its place. But it's far, far more than that. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit that Joel spoke of in the last days for the latter rain is an empowerment to preserve God's remnant. Holy Mount Zion, a remnant who will offer true worship and sacrifice to God, a remnant who comes before God with clean hands and a pure heart, who is being purged and purified by fire. How do we know? Because I read it to you, what Joel says. And he says that on Mount Zion and Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance. And this is why we have always said that the deeper life that we teach in nature is deliverance. It is delivering us from wrong teaching, wrong mindsets, wrong attitudes, unforgiveness, lying, gossiping, uncleanness, all of these things that we labour in. That is what he's delivering us from. This is why God is meeting us in the fire. Because it's in the fire we're purged, we're purified, as that gold is. And you can see that there's nothing new to what I'm saying. All of God's remnant right through Scripture, God has always met with them in the fire. But you know something? It is in the fire where you experience the Father's love. a true love. That is how we experience God's love. Now, only God can do that. That is why the scriptures say that whom God loves, he chastens. God is ever working with us. He's ever chastening us. He's ever wooing us. He's meeting with us in that way now, so that we are not to be found in this world. Although we're in it, we're not of it. We are getting deliverance from the spirit of this age, which is becoming more and more antichrist, as we know. So the baptism of the Spirit is absolutely vital for the remnant. And this is why he's working on our faith. Because we are of faithful Abraham. And we all know the walk of Abraham and how God tested him. How God made promises to him, which were manifested years and years later. And yet he continued to hold on and believe. Is your life characterized like that? Is that speaking to you right now in your situation, your experience? Of course it is. And take comfort, brothers and sisters, because these are actually good signs. Do you feel as though you have been forgotten about? That no one's interested? No one wants to hear about the love of Jesus, the gospel, the good news? Do you feel forgotten? Are you rejected by most? Take comfort. You are of the remnant. There is nothing new in what you're going through, what you're experiencing, or what you feel. Those are the very conditions in which God can get a greater, stronger faith out of you and I. Don't try and work it out, because it will never make any sense. God's dealings, God's ways never make any sense. They do not appeal to common sense. It always appeals and points to the Word of God and God's glory. This is why we walk by faith and not by sight. There are things happening in our lives that don't make any sense. They not only don't make any sense, but you could also say, scripturally, this shouldn't be happening to me. But that's always been the big question, isn't it? Why do the righteous suffer? But remember that it is only always for a season. That is how God works. And he hasn't forgotten us. And he will deliver us. And he will glorify his name in and through us. Because as I have said so very often, it's not about you, it's not about me, it's about God's glory. And God's remnant is for the glory of God. Let God be God, and let him do what he knows is right in his sight. And this is why we're saying so often, just let go. That is what God was teaching Abraham, to let go of everything and trust that the Lord would give him his promise, which of course was Isaac. And again, Isaac was part of the remnant of God. So our faith is vital to be worked on, to believe. So why a remnant? Why couldn't God save all the world? After all, he has said, it's not in his heart that all should perish, but all should come to eternal life. Jesus made that very clear. Well, we know this just to remind ourselves in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So all of this, we are shown, is prepared beforehand. In other words, before the foundation of the world. In God's economy, it is all done. What he has spoken has happened. But we know that time, this world is created for man. In God's time, it's the ever-present now. And so God has that complete confidence that it is all done for his glory. It's just in our time lapse being worked out. So we can take tremendous encouragement and comfort from God's side. It's already done. From God's side, you have always been called by him. From God's side, there never was a time when you were not in his heart, his mind, his calling, his purpose, his plan for glory. You have always been there for his glory. That is mind-boggling when you think about this. And if we can just grasp this, how could we ever doubt? Whatever happens, whatever we go through, whatever our trials, I have always been in the Father's heart. There was never a time when I was not. Does that sound blasphemous? Then you take it up with God, because that is God's word. From his side, from our side, we are simply walking it out as our experience. So as we walk in this life and we experience the Father's love to us, let that be a reminder that that always has been with God. When you experience that love that you cannot even put into words, and we experience that sometimes, that always has been. When you see faith, and your faith overcoming, your faith embracing the promises of God, seeing answers to your prayers, that always has been in God's realm. This is why we can understand what it says in Hebrews 11 verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Let's just remind ourselves with the analogy. You've asked God, the letter is on the way. And like when a letter is on the way, you hear that sound through the letterbox and you go out, you quickly, and you think, ah, today may be that letter that I'm waiting for. That should be our faith, that is inspired through the promises of God's word. And that is what God's working within us, so that we believe, we don't doubt. Now, we're talking about the remnant. We've said that it is for God's glory. That is one of the main reasons. But God also reveals the history and the experiences of this remnant. And that's how we know that God has a remnant right through to Genesis to Revelation, because he reveals their history, their walk, their trials, their blessings, their preservation. Thank God that he has a remnant, because we shall all be together with him in glory. We shall be together as God's family, and we will meet all these great saints who walk with God and the patriarchs. We will meet them face to face. We will share, we will talk. We will all be the redeemed of the Lord, brought out from this world. What a day that is going to be when we all join together, meet up together, and above all, be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what we will have in common. Look at the great fellowship and unity that there will be. This is why we start to experience this even now on the earth. And it's called the body of Christ. Where two or three are gathered together. That should be our experience. This is why it's such a blessing for the saints to meet together in unity of the Spirit. Because it's foretelling us what is established in glory and what we are destined for. This is why I make much about body ministry and how important it is for us to come together. Yes, it's not easy, but everything is a sacrifice. We have to make that effort. But the blessing is there when you come together and you worship God in spirit and in truth. There is nothing like a live meeting with real live saints coming together who love the Lord Jesus Christ. As I have said, and I will say it again, as much as we are blessed today, but our meeting online is a substitute to the real fellowship of saints coming together in true unity and oneness. And so God reveals, as I've said, the history and the experiences of this remnant. And we see in the nation of Israel that there is a spiritual remnant even unto this day. We know the story, don't we, of Elijah, how he sort of, in a sense, runs away in despair. Yes, a lot of people like to think that he just was going through a hard time, but I believe that also Elijah was suffering with depression. Yes, even saints can fall into that trap. But God was encouraging him. How do we know? Because God said, Elijah, I've got 7,000 who haven't bowed their knee to Baal. So it's not just you. Don't feel rejected. Don't feel down, depressed. No, they are rebellious. They don't want to hear, but I have a remnant. So we see that God's remnant is also to encourage us when it feels at times when we're just the only one and nobody else wants to hear, know, or is even interested. Everybody is caught up doing their own thing. They're all consumed in themselves. Well, take heart, brothers and sisters. There is a remnant who's called to God around the world. Praise his name. And who do not bow down to 21st century idolatry, denominationalism, all those isms, those religions that's so rife around the world today. We have come out from it and we're separate from it and we don't touch it. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, even with Israel in captivity in Babylon, we spoke about this earlier, but there was a remnant that came out under Ezekiel and Mordecai. And we know also of Daniel. And God preserved that remnant through that time because the enemy was out to try and totally destroy Israel. and the nation of Israel. That's always been the attack. But God had a remnant preserved, as we know. A remnant returns. And they return, don't they, under that captivity under Ezra and Nehemiah, the minor prophets, the ones who encouraged them to start to institute their worship again, to rebuild the temple. And of course they procrastinate. They start to get sidetracked and so on. And we begin to glean from that how God, from that, how we see that the fivefold ministry is so paramount to help building God's body, his church, his house. Under the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, we see now under the new covenant, these are types. How important these ministries are for the remnant. To keep building, to encourage them, to encourage them to keep coming together under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And more as we go on, we're going to value and see the importance of this as we're seeing the great falling away now in these last days. We see in Scripture that there were those who looked for redemption. There was a remnant who were looking for Messiah. They knew he was going to come. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 38. Luke chapter 2 and verse 38. This is where we see where Anna, she bears witness to the Redeemer. Let's take it from verse 36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, a daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. And she was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers, and night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord, and spoke of him to all those who looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. So there we are. Part of the remnant, a woman there of the temple, praying, fasting constantly, faithful. That has to be God. You can't do that sort of thing in the natural. It's not something that is a good idea, or let's have a go at it. These are callings on our lives. As a remnant, we have this divine calling set upon us. And you don't have to apologize for this. I have noted and seen over the years that the remnant, the true remnant of God, has a calling, has a ministry, has gifts set in their lives. They're divinely given for the glory of God, for the building of the body of Christ. We see in the church age that there was a remnant believing. I've already indicated to this earlier, the Apostle Paul himself. But let's turn to something familiar we know in Romans 11. Romans chapter 11, verses 4 to 5. Where we see that Israel is rejected. But not all. There's a remnant. And we take it up verse 4. But what does the divine response say to him? I have reserved for myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knees to Baal. Even so then, at this present time, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Not law now, grace. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works, otherwise grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace, otherwise works is no longer works. What then? Israel has not obtained what it seeks, but the elect have obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So it's always for the elect's sake, the remnant. And we know because the Apostle Paul himself was saved. And we know that in his ministry it was to the Jew first. If ever there were Jews, Hebrews, he put himself out to share Messiah, the good news of the gospel to them. So we take comfort in all of these things. There's a remnant to this day. Hence the prophecy of Joel. We know there's a remnant. I've already read it to you earlier in Joel chapter 2 verse 32. So we know there's a remnant. You are part of that remnant. Part of Joel's prophecy. We even see through the Great Tribulation that Israel, not all of Israel, but a remnant of Israel will be saved. Let's just, as we bring this all to conclusion, let's continue to see where this remnant is. For example, in Revelation 7, Revelation chapter 7, verses 3 to 8. Here we see, these are the sealed servants. Do not harm the earth, the sea, or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. So before any of that can happen, they have to be sealed and will be. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. So God in his way, as Israel's being restored, they are going back now. This is why I said at the beginning, I believe in restoration. The times of revivals are finished. We are now in the time of restoration. And we're seeing Israel, they're going back to their homeland. And amongst this, they're from their tribes and they will be restored. For what? To be sealed, so that they are not destroyed by the Antichrist. All the while, God is restoring, preserving, keeping this seed. We see in verse 9, a multitude are saved here. A multitude from the great tribulation. And after these things, I looked and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palms, branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. Who does salvation belong to? Our God. And so salvation is that gift granted to us. I didn't save myself. It was a sovereign work of God who had mercy over my life. That's what it is. And all the angels stood around the throne, the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honour and power and might be to our God for ever and ever. So there's a remnant preserved in the great tribulation. That's why you can believe for your family, your loved ones. Yes, they may have to go through the great tribulation, but they will be saved. They will be redeemed because God has promised. I always take comfort. I love to hear my voice expressing and saying before God, my family, my loved ones, my friends, the very fact that I'm speaking that, I take encouragement because I can't do that unless God has opened my eyes to see that. That is why we thank God for those who prayed for us. Because if they hadn't, we wouldn't be here today. And so you do likewise now. You pray for your loved ones. You pray for your family. You pray for your enemy. Because that is a sign of those who will come out of the great tribulation. Now you either believe that or you don't. You either take comfort and encouragement from that or you don't. But I believe that we're filled with the Spirit, we are led by the Spirit, so we're inspired by the Spirit as we read God's word. We see the woman that is left, verse 17. Revelation 12. In Revelation 12, we see the woman that is left. And it says, and the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So the enemy is there during the tribulation, great tribulation, to destroy the church. And we see that even the woman who gives of her seed, so she's still preaching, she's still evangelizing, she's still sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are those still being saved who hear the testimony of Jesus Christ. Again, a remnant. And we even see that there will be a remnant who are spared to go in to repopulate in the millennium. We know that because let's turn to the book of Zechariah as I bring this to a close now. Zechariah 12 and verse 6. Zechariah 12 and verse 6, which all speaks here about the coming deliverance, the deliverance of Judah, it's speaking to there, but there will be a remnant who will go through and will repopulate, who are preserved and kept through the great tribulation. It says in verse 6, and in that day I will make the governor of Judah like a fire pan in the woodpile, and like the fiery torch in the sheaves, and they shall devour all the surrounding people on the right hand and on the left. But Jerusalem shall be inhabited again to her own place, Jerusalem. And the Lord will save the tents of Judah first, and that the glory of the house of David and the glory of the inhabitants of Jerusalem and shall not become greater than that of Judah. And in that day the Lord will defend the inhabitations of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David, and the house of David shall be like God, like the angel of the Lord before them. It shall shine in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Why Jerusalem? Because in Jerusalem is found Mount Zion. And it is for Zion's sake. And Zion always speaks of the spiritual church, which includes God's people, Israel as well. That we all become one. And their eyes one day will be open to their Messiah. Let's look at Zechariah 13, verse 9. I will bring the one third through the fire, will refine them as silver is refined, and test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people, and each one will say, the Lord is my God. That will be the day when they see their Messiah, whom they first rejected at the first advent, they will receive him at the second. But look what Israel has to go through. She has to go through the refining fire for the remnant to be saved out of her. As we see of Israel today, most of them are just Israelis. They're rebellious and they live pretty well just like the rest of the world does. But there is a remnant to be found in her. The world doesn't see it. But you know there's one who does see it to a certain extent. And that is the powers of darkness and Satan. And Satan has always tried to attack the seed of the woman. Do you know why? Because in that seed there is found a remnant unto God, preserved and kept. So Satan's not stupid, but God is always one step ahead of the enemy. Even the Psalms express the joy as well as the sorrows of God's remnant. And I want to finish with this last scripture in Isaiah. Isaiah 46. Chapter 46, verses 12 to 13. Isaiah 46, verses 12 to 13. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, who are far from righteousness. I bring my righteousness near. It shall not be far off. My salvation shall not linger, and I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. So because of Israel, because of God's chosen people, the woman, because of her, God has placed Zion there for that purpose. That in God's divine plan, even though he's put Israel through her unbelief and hardness of heart, he's put her to one side so that the Gentiles may be saved. And when the last Gentile is saved, then God again will turn to his ancient people for the sake of Jerusalem. Israel, my glory. And that is why we have Zion. Hallelujah. A remnant is ordained to believe. Heavenly Father, there are times when there are not enough words. Our words are insufficient to be able to express your great love and mercy and grace. How that we are being preserved and kept from the evil one. How you have had a remnant right through the ages, preserved and kept. Lord, it is so profound that we stand on this great foundation. This foundation that goes right back to the fall of Adam, where the church was hid, was a mystery, but now is revealed. And that we stand upon that rock, the rock of Jesus Christ. And yet all of that, Father, has cost, has not come an easy way. Many who have believed, we know those who stood afar off, who saw the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, those who gave their lives for the gospel, who would not bow down to the gods of Baal, to those who have waxed stronger and bolder in the faith, to those who held on to the promises of God, looking ridiculous in the natural, Father, what a foundation this is that we stand on. And here we are. We're believing. You've touched our lives. And we are part of this glorious, great family, the family of God. Oh, Father, help us to look up as our redemption draws near. Father, help us not to be drawn down by the things of this world. Help us not to believe its lies, its deceptions. Everything is a mirage. It's not really real. It's going to die. But you have given us life in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that that life, your life, will quicken us, even our mortal bodies, that your life will raise us up whole in mind, body, and spirit. Help us, Father, not to compromise. Help us, Lord, to turn our eyes away from things that may be tempting us or causing us to compromise. Father, always keep burning within our hearts that desire for holy truth, for purity. Keep our hands clean and our hearts pure, Father. Keep us from the evil one, from temptation, those things that try to trip us up, that try to deceive us. Keep us, Father, separated, consecrated unto you. Your remnant, Father, who believe and who are looking for the coming of the Lord. For this we ask, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Let him in constancy follow.